We had boots on the ground at Dolphins camp today. I was on site.
Saw the fight?
Saw a fight. Put on my Big J journalism hat. Was pointing out who did what. What happened where. I mean, time of our lives at Dolphins training camp today. Adam Beasley of Pro Football Network will join us at 2:25 to talk Dolphins, talk some Tua contract, the usual with Adam. And then Drew Carter, everybody's favorite broadcaster from Boston, will join us at 4:25. We'll talk about the Olympics. We'll talk some NBA. I'm sure he's very upset that Steve Kerr over Kerr and the coaching staff's plan, I guess you could say, for not playing Jason Tatum. Steve Kerr, didn't he say he forgot to play Jason Tatum? Is that what happened?
I don't know if he said he forgot, but he said he was embarrassed about it.
Well, we'll find out what Drew thinks. I'm sure that Drew will say something to the effect of Steve Kerr should be embarrassed by that. But we have a lot to get to. We have some Mike McDaniel sound as well today. He was cracking jokes with Baz Jackson right off the top in the press conference. But my first big observation about Dolphins practice today. I know it's training camp, but I know that, you know, you're in the McDaniel's probably in the facility for probably like 12 to 14, maybe even more hours a day during this period of the year, but he needs to cut his beard and shave his head. He's looking a little haggard.
Is he really?
Yeah, the beard was, it looked like a COVID beard and a COVID haircut.
So he's just putting aside appearances. Doesn't care right now.
Doesn't seem like it. It doesn't seem like it. No, I'm used to him being a little more groomed and just a guy that looks like he smells good. And today, you know, it just might be time for a haircut. It might be time to head to the barbershop if I'm Mike McDaniel.
That's surprising to me because he always keeps up his appearances. He's got the off-whites. He's got, like, the fresh gear. He's got the Gucci bags. Like, he's always keeping up with that stuff.
He was wearing a Lulu jumpsuit again today.
Oh,
he's got Lulu-branded Dolphin stuff.
Yeah, and as a
need to get my hands on it.
Your favorite brand, Lulu guy, the biggest Lulu guy I know, you were hyped up about that.
They don't make your size. You don't make the Lululemon does not make your size.
I wear a double XL. What are you talking about? They make my size.
Yeah, special order. I've been in one of those stores.
You call me fat?
No, you're gigantic. You're 6'3".
I think you're calling me fat.
What, Mike McDaniel? He's letting himself go a little bit?
He's not letting himself go, like, weight-wise. He's just, you know, it needs to be a little groomed. Needs a trip to the barber.
No, this is Cam. This is psychological for his team. I'm not worried about my appearance right now. It's time to grind. It's time to work. The only time I ever saw Jason Taylor with a George Jefferson was in camp.
You know what, though? As ridiculous as it might sound, Crowder might be onto something, because what's one of the biggest, I guess, criticisms of the Dolphins as a whole? And, like, Jalen Ramsey has been vocal about this. Jordan Poyer has been vocal about this, that people view them as a finesse team. They're soft, right? They're not tough enough. And Mike McDaniel in his little Lululemon jumpsuit and his off-whites that he always makes sure are, like, super clean, or he's wearing the Yeezys. Like, it kind of feeds in to this nature. Like, look how clean cut we are. But they're trying to get rid of that. They're trying to be meaner. They're trying to be tougher. So McDaniel is pulling out the rugged look. And you know what, Crowder? It might sound ridiculous. You might be right about this.
I am. I'm telling you, I'm in D.C. right now. We just went and did the training camp tour for the Pivot. So we went over to the Redskins facility out there in Bumble Bleep, Virginia somewhere. I don't know, Ashburn or something. But Dan Quinn is now the head coach. And that's all he preaches. Physicality. Like, late season. And if you look at it, even like the Kansas City Chiefs, where they're a wide open offense, but Pacheco runs hard as hell. Their defense is one of the tops in the league. Like, the physical style of play. Dolphin fan, love him to death, played for him, lived out here, cover him. There is no team in the NFL, when you go play the Dolphins, saying, oh, they about to whoop our ass physically. No. They're going to run motions. They're going to do a lot of cutesy offensive stuff. They're going to score 30 points. They're a very efficient offense. But nobody says, I don't want to get in a fist fight with the Miami Dolphins. And there's a lot of teams out there that don't have that cachet, but the Dolphins are one of them that nobody's worried about them physically.
Well, Patrick Paul, you should be worried about Patrick Paul physically because he almost suplexed Kader Kohut today towards the end of practice.
I always love when the DBs forget where they play and they run up in that box. Don't go up in there. That's not where you're supposed to be. That's an and in a stampede of bulls. Stay outside with the little guys, with the graceful guys. Don't go in there with them bulls.
Yeah, Kader learned the hard way that you don't want to step up to a 6'7", million-pound offensive tackle.
I love to see because my favorite thing is when they pull Trent Williams in San Francisco and he gets around the edge and that little corner runs up to set it, and I just start licking my chop. I'm like, yeah, pop. Get the popcorn because this is about to be interesting. And Trent Williams rubs his whole belly, navel, crotch, knee all the way up the dude's face. And I enjoy it. I enjoy a good old DB getting his ass whooped.
Did you ever get into a training camp fight?
Oh, every year.
With who? Who was your best training camp fight opponent?
Every practice.
Pretty much, yeah, man. Every practice would be an exaggeration, but every third practice is not an exaggeration because I was the fire starter, to be honest.
Yeah, you were.
They knew. I told a story before where Keith Trailer, big truck, I don't remember tractor trailer, 94, just 6'4", 385, nose guard, 40 years old, was just out there to choke the hell out of centers. It would be out there. It'd be the second practice of a two-a-day when football was real. And it'd be hot. We're tired. We found out that when you play for Saban, if you started a team fight, he would kick you out of practice. So Truck, as the only rookie on the defensive starting, Truck and Bonnie Holiday, Kevin Carter, they talk, and Truck come up to me. Young boy, time to start one. Okay, the next play, the next lineman that touched me, I would grab his face mask and try to slam him on the ground and just start a big brawl. And they'd be like, one defense, get off the field. And we all have to go stand on the sideline, and all the OGs would tap my helmet and be like, good job, young blood. And that's what it was.
Rex had no idea what was coming to him, huh?
Me and Rex, I gave Rex hell. Remember Nate Smith? Garner? Nate Garner, I'm not going to lie. Rex had not had a little something to him. Big Vernon Carey's hands were so strong that if he grabbed you, like you couldn't get away, so there was no fight. It was just him shaking me around like a rag dog. So after my first fight with Big Vern, every time I saw 72, I'd say no. But Nate Garner was there. Nate Garner is a good friend of mine right now. Honestly, Nate's a very good human being. But Nate was the weakest link. So they'd be like, hey, Crowder, young blood, start one. I go find on Nate. Damn, man, I'm sorry about this. And just go kick him in the chest. And then the big fight would start, and we were ready to go. Practice was over.
You were always going up against an offensive lineman, though, in these skirmishes. You weren't picking on a running back. You weren't picking on a receiver. You were going after the big boys.
Yeah, I would always pick the big boys. I don't like the bully. I really don't like bullies to this day. Leon Washington, he always wanted to start something with me, but I had him by 100 pounds. He was like 160, and I was 250. He'd be like, yeah, you get out of here. And he has like a baby voice. I don't know how to do his voice, but it's a little person voice. Yeah, punk. And I'm like, Leon, go in the huddle, man. Send somebody over here. Kick.
Okay, Leon Washington, go return a kickoff.
Leon played for the Jets. What was his name? Florida State. He played for us. Oh, my God. I hate Leon Washington, too. Me and Leon didn't like each other for a long time. We're friends now, but no, Travis Minor was cool. It was another little dude that came about my second year from Florida State, a little scat back, and he always tried to start fights. But yeah, man, you have to fight in camp. The best fight story, I don't even remember his name because he was on the team for 2 days. It was a tight end out of like Western Illinois somewhere, but he was a big old steroid up white boy. And Peasy was on the team. Joey Porter was on the team. And he pulled around on some trap play and he knocked the hell out of Joey. Joey's not trying that hard. This is probably a year after Joey led the NFL in sacks. Like Joey's not practicing hard. Joey's setting his edge and just trying to get to the season. Dude pulled around and bam, Joey's tail. So Joey gets into it, pushing him and all, and he starts saying, woo, woo, woo. He starts yelling. And it's me, it's Joey, Aiken, I think, was that Big Cat, Big Kendall Langford? We still had some ball players, and everybody's kind of looking at Peasy, who was our defensive captain. And Peasy gets back to the huddle, and Peasy ties his shoes up, and Peasy tightens his gloves, and he starts messing with his helmet. And I'm like, Peasy, okay? They're like, man, it was 47, I think. 47, 40. He was like, man, 47, he's full tilt. So we knew what that meant. The next team period, he pulled around. So when I saw him pulling around, I just left my gap because I'm about to go tear him up. But Joey comes down, same play, and destroys him. Boom, hits his helmet straight to the guy's shoulder. I come around and hit him about half a second later in his head. Bam! He falls on the ground. He's knocked out, and he's just sitting there shaking. So now, you know, now we're, you know, kind of slapping hands like, yeah, okay, now welcome to the NFL. When Joey hit him, his shoulder dislocated.
Mm.
But the next hit was a concussion hit, so he went to sleep. So he didn't know his shoulder was dislocated until after he woke up. So he was asleep for like 3-4 seconds, and then he woke up, and then he felt his shoulder out of place. So he's on the ground shaking. We're celebrating. He wakes up and just starts screaming like bloody murder. Holding his arm. They have to come pop his arm back into place. Now he's hurt. He couldn't make the team. They cut him like a day and a half later, probably paid him some money on an injury settlement. And it was like, it was one of those moments where I was like, these guys come into camp, but they don't really know what NFL camps are. And if you hit the NFL leading sack leader and start screaming and yelling, like there's repercussions to your actions. And that was a pretty funny one. It probably sounds brutal right now as I tell the story, but it was just what the NFL was back in the day. It's changed a lot right now. It's changed. It's crazy right now. You can never do that this day and age.
Was Lorenzo Booker the running back you were thinking of?
Lorenzo Booker's little itty bitty tail always wanted to start something with me. I'm like, Book, you're my wife weighs more than you. Why do you keep talking trash to me, Book?
It might have been a Florida State thing. I play there, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. Me and Leon Washington really hated each other until like 2 years ago. He's the running back coach for the Jets. And I saw him at Jets camp 2 years ago, and we kind of looked at each other, and we walked up slow, and we gave each other the dap. And I was like, bro, we good? He was like, yeah, man, that's in the past. I was like, okay, I hope it's in the past. I'm 40 now. I don't want to fight no damn body. So me and Leon Washington became friends. Me and Book been friends forever, but he always wanted to start some crap with me for no reason when it was a welterweight fighting a heavyweight, and I wasn't going to do it.
Hey, Crowder, yeah, you're right, by the way. You would never be able to have those types of practices anymore, right? Like with the way everybody's there live tweeting, everybody there is with a camera, cell phone camera. The fans, all of them have cell phone cameras. Like you wouldn't be able to just go punch somebody in the face or step on, what'd you say, kick somebody in the chest?
Yeah, drop kick them.
Ooh, I'd love to see that.
Yeah, dude, push me over a pile. So you run up on the play falls down, you're standing there, and a lineman, his name is just inconsequential because he didn't make the team. But yeah, he pushed me and had my back of my legs under, and I did a backflip over the pile. So I get up and I run around the pile and I jump in the air and kick him in the middle of his chest with my right foot. And then he stumbles back, and I gather my feet and I grab his helmet and I start pulling him towards me. So now he's stumbling. And when he falls, his helmet pops off. Then I pick my foot up to kick him. And I've told this story before, not proud of it, just a good camp story. I pick my foot up to kick him in his real head with a cleated foot. And my big brother, I talk to him all the time. I go fishing with him when he comes to South Florida. Keep Trailer. He grabbed me like a little teddy bear, picked me up off the ground. And he was even like, young blood, you going to kick that man in his head with a foot with just cleat? No, man, F him truck, man. He tried to end my career. He was like, he didn't try to end your career. There's no reason to kick a man in the head with a cleat on. That's his real head. That's not a helmet. I said, okay, truck, my bad. And we went to play three. Like, back in the day, that would have been a whole thing on the newspaper. Like, when we played, we just went to play three after that.
Can you do the rest of the show doing your Keith Trailer impression?
Keith Trailer impression is very much like my dad's impression, which is very much like Charles Barkley without the country, which is very much like any big black dude. So I could do it, but yeah, it's very confusing who it is.
Are you Keith Trailer? Are you Randy Crowder? Or are you Moses Malone? Because I'm still trying to figure out which one you are today.
Moses Malone, that's Charles Barkley saying Moses Malone.